Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Once upon a time, there was a man who was very, very sick. He was so weak, he couldn't do anything or go anywhere. He could only lie in bed. He thought he might die, and he begged God to help him. Well, one night as he slept, he had a dream. And in his dream, Jesus appeared to him. Jesus told him to get up every day and go outside. In front of this man's house was a very large rock. And Jesus told the man to push against the rock every day. Well, the dream was so vivid and so real, when the man woke up, he knew it was a message from God. So he determined to do what Jesus had told him. Even though he was weak, he struggled up out of bed and got dressed. He had to sit down and rest after getting dressed, but he was determined to do what Jesus had told him. Then he got up and went outside. He walked slowly to the very big rock and put his hands against it. He braced himself and pushed with all his might. He couldn't do this for very long, and he couldn't push very hard, and it didn't seem as if the rock moved at all. But the man was satisfied that he had done enough for the first day, and so he went inside. The next day, the man did the same thing. He got up, he struggled out of bed, he got dressed and went to push against the rock. He pushed with all his might and then went back inside. In fact, every day the man repeated his actions. Gradually, it became easier and easier for him to get out of bed and get dressed and get outside. Every day, he was able to push against the rock a little longer. He kept this up for many weeks. The weeks turned into months, and the man could tell he was getting stronger. But one thing bothered him a lot. No matter how hard he pushed and no matter how long he pushed, the rock never moved. So eventually the man got discouraged that the rock wasn't moving. He'd worked for months pushing against the rock, but still there was no progress. So one night the man sat down and prayed. He started complaining to God that the stone would not move. He told Jesus he was sure he'd heard from him and that he'd faithfully obeyed him, but nothing was happening. The man felt like giving up, and he didn't know what to do. And then Jesus appeared to the man. "My son, don't be discouraged," Jesus said. "I never told you to move the rock. I only told you to push against it. By pushing against it every day, you've regained your strength. Go and look in the mirror. You'll see for yourself that you've been made whole and strong." And it was true. The man who had once been so weak and sick he could barely get out of bed was now strong and well. His muscles were hard and his body was strong. He realized that he was no longer sick and weak. God had indeed answered his prayers, but not in the way he'd expected. For you see, he thought God had given him the task of moving the rock forward, but in fact, God had used the rock to move him forward. God healed him as he participated in his miracle. There's a valuable lesson for all of us in the fable of the man and the rock. You see, God can do the miraculous without you, but oftentimes he chooses for us to participate in the miracle with him. The power for your breakthrough comes from God, but the obedience must come from you. For the truth is, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. That's the message in our sermon today, a sermon titled Miracle in the Middle of the Drought. As we study the story of Prophet Elijah and how God gave him a miracle in the middle of the drought, we're going to learn the secrets of participating with God in a miracle. But before we learn more, let's pray. Almighty Father in heaven, we thank you as we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you've made a way for us to participate in our miracle. Lord, we know that the power comes from you. There's nothing in us that can change circumstances. But Lord, you have the ability to heal, deliver, and save. And yet you ask us to step out in faith. You ask us to do in obedience what you've told us to do. So we come before you today, opening our hearts to you and willingly surrender to your will. We ask you to speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Direct us, O God, in the steps you want us to take today that we might partake of our miracle in the middle. We thank you that as we approach the middle of this year, you are moving in our lives in a new way. You're elevating us, not in the ways we expected, but in the ways that you expected. And we thank you as we surrender to you that your kingdom will come and your will be done in our hearts and lives. We commit our ways to you now in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to us, lead us, and empower us for your glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and join your faith with mine. Would you just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello everyone and welcome to our broadcast today. You've picked a great day to join me as we continue our sermon series titled Miracle in the Middle. As we draw near to the middle of the year, I believe God has a miracle for you. You see, today is Sunday, June 21st, and it happens to be day number 173 in the year 2020. And that means that in just 10 more days, we're going to hit the halfway point in this year. And no matter how the year has gone for you so far, I believe there is a miracle in the middle for you. By God's grace, the second half will be better than the first half when you learn the keys to joining hands with God. For the fact is, God is a forward-looking God. He's a God of the future, not a God of the past. He wants you to face forward and march into the future to serve him. That's why he created you so that your whole body faces forward. He gave you two eyes that look forward, two ears that face forward. He gave us two arms that are easier to reach forward than backward. He gave us two feet to face forward, to walk ahead and not walk backwards. There's only one part of your body that faces backwards, and that's what we call the behind. So no matter the disappointments or the setbacks or the failures of the first 6 months, I believe God can turn things around and give you a miracle in the middle of the year. And he's calling on all of us today to get up and participate with him so that we can write a new ending to the story of our lives in 2020. So today, join me as we discover three lessons about participating in your miracle. And to help us learn our three lessons today, we're going to study the story of the prophet Elijah when he came to the middle of the drought. Let me read the story for you from 1 Kings 17, 1-9. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and in the evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I've instructed a widow there to feed you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our story begins in Israel during the reign of King Ahab. Ahab was one of the most evil kings ever to rule Israel, for he had turned away from God to serve Baal. And in the middle of his reign, God sent the prophet Elijah to pronounce judgment on the land. There would be no rain or dew for years until Elijah himself gave the word. But even though God was judging the land for its evil, he had made provision for the man of God. See, the fact is, when you walk with God, there is a covering over your life that protects you from the judgment of God on the world. You can live in a sheltered place under the shadow of the Almighty. That's why Psalm 91 says, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. And in these end times, in these perilous times we live in, we need to know how to live in God so that we can be sheltered by his presence in the midst of evil. For God can keep you in the middle of the battle. He can protect you and provide for you when everything around you is falling apart. And in the middle of the drought, God can give you a miracle. And that's what happened to Elijah. After pronouncing the judgment of drought, God sent him to a brook. God sent ravens to come and feed him day and night. Others were hungry, but the man of God was fed. The brook gave him water to drink so that while others were thirsty, the man of God had enough. But then something surprising happens. In the middle of the miracle, suddenly the Bible says, the brook dried up. Hey! Now, why would the brook dry up? Why would God supply a miracle and then abruptly take it away? Well, that leads us to our first lesson today. Be devoted to the master, not a method. You see, the first lesson from our story, the first lesson on how to participate in your miracle is what we learned from Elijah. It's that we must learn to be devoted to the master, not devoted to a method. See, God used the brook to provide for Elijah, but then the brook dried up. And because of that, Elijah had to keep his eyes on God, not on the brook. Elijah learned that God is the source of supply. The brook was simply a temporary method of supply by which God delivered his provision. And the lesson of Elijah applies to all of us today. No matter how God has been supplying provision for you, don't get your eyes on the method. You have to keep your eyes on God. See, the problem for many of us is that when the brook dries up, we blame God. We get angry and feel frustrated. We feel discouraged and we think there's no way forward. But take note, the brook did not dry up because Elijah had sinned. The brook didn't dry up because he was backslidden. It wasn't because God was angry with him. The fact is, the brook dried up because God's brooks always dry up. God never dries up, but the brooks he provides always dry up because God's brooks were never meant to be a permanent source for any of us. For the fact is, your source is not the brook. Your source is the Almighty. God is your only source, and he will provide for you through various means, but you must never forget that he's the only source you will ever need. It's in him that you have all you need. That's why Acts 17:28 says, for in him we live and move and exist. And we need to get this inside our hearts today. If you have Jesus, you have all you need. You are complete in him. For Colossians 2, 9 and 10 tells us, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. So just put your hand on your chest and say, I am complete in Christ. See, it's nice to have things and it's nice to have people, but if you lose everything, yet you still have Jesus, you are still richer than a man with all the money. And the fact is, God's brooks always dry up because God doesn't want us to get our eyes on the things that he has used. He doesn't want our eyes to be on things that fail us. God wants us to stay close to him. And God is the only source that can sustain you. Other sources may give you some temporary relief, but he's the only source for your needs that will never fail. And because he loves you and wants to sustain you, anytime you start to depend on a source that cannot permanently sustain you, God will intervene and remove it from you. You've got to stay close to the source. Once a few years ago, the government built a new highway. They wanted to paint the lines along the edge of the road to show drivers the lanes to drive in. So they hired a man to paint the lines on the highway. Well, the man got started and he set up all his equipment at the beginning where he was to begin the work. And on his first day, he made a lot of progress. In fact, he painted 1 whole kilometer of the road on his first day. However, on the second day, the same man only painted 1/2 of 1 kilometer. And on the third day, he painted only 1/10 of a kilometer of the road. Well, the supervisor of the project came to him on the third day and asked him why he painted 1 full kilometer the first day, but only 1/2 that on the second day, and only 1/10 of that on the third day. And the man's answer was simple. Well, I'll tell you, boss, he said, the further I painted, the farther away I was from the paint bucket. And it seemed that rather than moving the paint bucket along with him as he painted, this man had left it at the starting point. He'd set up his supplies on the first day at the starting point, and rather than moving the supplies every day, he simply left them where he began. So he had to continually walk back to the source of the paint. And the further down the road he painted, the farther he had to walk back to get fresh paint. And that's the mistake many of us are making. If you keep God at the starting point, but you don't carry him with you in the middle, you'll become less and less effective in life. The further you get from your source of supply, the harder life becomes and the less you accomplish. The solution is to keep the source of your supply at your side and never begin to think you can wander out away from God on your own. A lot of us are fond of spending our December 31st, watch night in the presence of God. Millions of us go to church and pray at the beginning of the year, hoping to dedicate the year to God. But here we are in the middle, and a lot of us have strayed away from the source of our supply. And if you try to make progress in your life without God by your side, your life will get harder and harder, and you'll achieve less and less. You've got to stay close to God, for he is your source. So just say after me, God is my source. That's why if you get comfortable at the brook, you'll miss greater blessings. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. The blessing is not on your location. The blessing is on you. For when you have God with you, then wherever you go, the blessing goes. But when you focus on the method of the blessing, you lack confidence in who you are in Christ. When you focus on the method instead of God, you get attached to something that will tie you down. For God blesses men, not methods. You see, when your ways please the Lord, the blessing is on you. That's why God promises us in Deuteronomy 28, verses 3, 6, and 8, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord your God will bless you. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter if you're in or out, in the country or in the town. When you walk with God, the blessing follows you. We're always looking for better methods. We're always looking for a better supply, but God is looking for better men who will stay devoted to him so that his blessing will follow them. And some of you watching today have your eyes on the brook Cherith. You've put God in a box. You insist that God supply through a particular method or by a specific means. You're so tied to your brook, you're missing God's blessing. For the fact is, God can use anybody he chooses to get you to your miracle. I learned that lesson many years ago when I was traveling throughout the United States preaching and ministering. I'd been invited to a big church in a big city to preach, and I was excited about the opportunity to minister to many people. And I was also praying and hoping and expecting that God would use the church to bless me, for I had some severe financial needs at the time. And in fact, when I arrived at the church, the pastor told me plainly that after I preached, he would take an offering for me, and the church would give me everything they collected. So imagine my surprise when after the service, the pastor handed me an envelope and inside was a very, very small offering. I was so shocked. The amount the church gave me didn't even pay to fuel my car to go and come. I left that church feeling discouraged. But God had a surprise for me. The next week, I was invited to a small ladies' home group Bible study. This home group Bible study was made up of about 15 or 20 old women. Some were widows, some were retired. Well, I went to the ladies' home group Bible study and I ministered. I taught the Word of God and I prayed for the ladies. And at the end, they took up a love offering. And to my surprise, these old ladies collected over $1,500 and gave it to me as a gift. The money those few old ladies gave me was more than 10 times the amount that big church in the big city gave me. And I learned that day, don't focus on the method, focus on the master. And the same thing is true for you. Your source is not your salary. Your source is Jesus. Your source is not your family. Your source is Jesus. Your source is not your scholarship. Your source is Jesus. So stop telling God how he can and cannot bless you and how he can and cannot provide for you. Stop telling God how to take care of you and start telling God how much you trust him. Don't get stuck on a method, for your miracle comes from God, not a method, not a ritual, not a ceremony, and not an individual. If you're going to reach your highest potential, you have to stay close to God and open to God, for God wants to take you to new levels of faith in the second half of 2020. So let me ask you a question today. What is your brook? Where have you gotten stuck relying on a method rather than the master? And sometimes God will allow circumstances to get your attention. He doesn't stop loving you, but sometimes he stops supplying for you when your eyes are on the method, not the master. And I sense God saying to somebody watching today, you've been stuck at the brook too long. It's time to move on. I'm doing something new. Your miracle in the middle is not coming from the place you expected or in the way you expected or in the time you expected. I'm moving you to a new source. I'm causing you to trust in me as the source of all things. And I sense God saying that someone watching today, you've been called into ministry. You need to quit your job and leave your career and come and follow Jesus. Your source is not your salary, it's your Savior. Stop asking where the provision will come from and get close to the God who never lacks supply. But here's the challenge. If you're going to get to your new source, you have to participate. You've got to get up and move in obedience to God. And that's what Elijah did. Verse 10 says, so he went to Zarephath. Now, this was not an easy thing for the prophet Elijah. Zarephath was a heathen land. Elijah would not have been excited about going to a widow's house in Zarephath. Imagine how he felt. The brook that had fed him for such a period of time, that had provided for him, suddenly dried up. And God said, go and meet a widow, an unbelieving widow. Hey! But Elijah knew something we need to know. God blesses you in the place of consecration, not in the place of convenience. To participate in your miracle, you need to move to the place of consecration. See, when God led him on to Zarephath, he was moving towards his future. He couldn't settle in the safe place. He couldn't settle in the convenient place. He couldn't settle in the comfortable place, because God had a future for him that was greater. He had a future of greater impact. And the same thing is true for you. Some of you need to leave your safe place, your comfort zone, your place of convenience, and step out to the place of consecration and lay your life on the altar so that God can use you for greater things. God is calling you to begin to serve him and serve others. God is calling you to begin to pray bold prayers. God is calling you to shake this generation and begin to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God is calling you to begin to give. So don't play it safe and convenient. Step out in faith and do what God has called you to do. Keep your eyes on the master, not the method, for God has a bigger plan for you. He wants to pour out his grace on you to move you towards your destiny. He wants to use you if you will participate in your miracle. And your step of obedience is going to produce your next miracle. See, Elijah devoted himself to God and went in obedience, and it brought us to the second lesson we learned today. Be dependent on the maker, not your means. Our second lesson from this story comes from the widow herself. We pick up the story in verse 10. Listen to what the Bible says. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? As she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last, somebody say last, to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Somebody say first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. Think about this woman for a moment. This widow was down to nothing, but God was up to something. She had to depend on her maker, not her means. She seemed to be at a dead end, but God was just getting started. And when she turned her last into her first, she got her miracle. See, whenever you take your last and give it to God first, it turns into a miracle. You may be at your last strength, but give it to God and He'll carry you through. You may be at your last hope, but give it to God and He'll fill you with courage. You may be at your last prayer, but give it to God and He will work a miracle. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. What you've been calling a problem, God is calling a miracle. Your lack is God's opportunity. And the need you face today was not sent to defeat you. It was sent to elevate you into a new level of victory. What looks like your last will become your first breakthrough when you give it to God. What looks like the end of the road is actually an entrance ramp onto a superhighway of faith. What seems like a dead end is a springboard to new life. And that's the lesson we can learn from a man named Spencer Silver. Spencer Silver worked as an engineer for a company called 3M. Back in 1968, 3M was manufacturing glue, but they were trying to discover a new glue that would be stronger than any other glue they had prepared before. So Spencer Silver was given the task to develop a new glue, a glue that would be super strong. Well, Spencer Silver worked hard in the lab at 3M, and eventually he did indeed discover a new type of glue. But to his surprise, the glue he invented wasn't stronger than they had. In fact, his new glue was weaker than the existing glue. It looked like a failure. Spencer thought nothing good would come out of it. But a few years later, another scientist working with Spencer made an amazing discovery. Spencer's glue wasn't strong, but it was perfect for attaching temporary notes to paper. Spencer's glue was strong enough to make the note stick, but weak enough for the note to easily be pulled off without tearing the paper. And so the post-it note was invented. Today, post-it notes are used all over the world. They've brought millions of dollars of profit to a company and a man that originally thought they were a failure. What looked like a failure was actually a breakthrough in disguise. Have you ever faced a situation in life that you didn't understand? Maybe like Spencer Silver, your efforts seemed to end in failure. Something you were relying on suddenly dried up, and you wonder why God allowed it to happen. But never forget, when you put your life in God's hands, you can trust Him to bring His will to pass, even if sometimes the path to success detours through temporary setbacks. For you see, oftentimes God's path to promotion doesn't follow the course we expect. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He works all things for good in our lives when we trust in Him. And He's promised to perfect those things that concern us in every area of life. See, it doesn't matter what things look like. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what other people say. The only thing that matters is that God is with you. Because wherever God is, there is strength. Wherever God is, there is enough. Wherever God is, there is hope. When you follow God, He always has a way to supply for you, even in the middle of the drought. That's why 1 Samuel 14:6 tells us, nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle, whether He has many warriors or only a few. So here's the truth you need to hook on your keychain and carry along with you today. Where God is, there is strength. Where your own ability is, there's weakness. That's what the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Listen to God's word. God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and the hardships, the persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So here's what you need to understand. In your own strength, you can't make it. By yourself, you're too weak. You don't have the strength or the ability or the resources on your own to succeed in life anyway. You won't make it through 2020 when you rely upon yourself. You can't survive the drought in your own strength. We're all weak. We just don't see our weaknesses when we have things around us propping us. And too many of us are relying on a false sense of comfort and a false sense of security. We're being propped up by our jobs or propped up by our savings or investments or propped up by our position. But all those things will fail you. When you rely on anything other than Jesus, you're relying on a temporary strength that will surely fail you. But when you're weak, when you acknowledge your weakness, when you humble yourself before God, you can turn and receive His strength. If you're in a situation right now that is too difficult for you, then you can turn to God and let His power carry you through. For the truth is, a person on his face before God can never fall. And when you weaken yourself before God and humble yourself before God, you get God's attention. That's why Psalm 69, 32, and 33 says, "The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged, for the Lord hears the cries of the needy." And if you're in a difficult place, if you're feeling weak and discouraged today, you can call upon the Lord and He will hear your cry. For the fact is, God loves all of us the same, but He doesn't treat everyone the same. He gives special favor to those who are weak and trust in Him and depend on Him. Psalm 72, 12 to 14 says, "He will rescue the poor when they cry to Him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and He will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to Him." That's what happened to the widow woman in her story. This woman humbled herself and God raised her up. She weakened herself and God gave her strength. She took her last and gave it to God first, and God gave her a miracle in the middle of the drought. 1 Kings 17, 15 to 16 tells us, "So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah." This widow received her miracle when she participated with God. She obeyed Him and trusted in Him, not her own means. But not only did God give her a miracle in the middle of the drought, He did much more for her than that. She not only got provision, she got a breakthrough for her future. For what this woman didn't know was this: there was a lot more riding on her participation in the miracle than she realized. There was a lot more at stake than just her daily food. And that brings us to our third lesson: be devoted to the multitude, not myself. There's one final lesson in this amazing story, the lesson from the widow's son. It's a lesson that is just as important as the first two. For you see, God wants to give you a miracle in the middle, not just for your own sake, but for the sake of others as well. You need to participate in your miracle so that you can be delivered and so that others may experience the power of God as well. Elijah didn't know it when he met the widow, but God had a bigger purpose than just feeding him. The widow didn't know it when she first met Elijah, but God had bigger plans for her than just keeping her alive. They both needed to participate in the miracle because other people were depending on them. Listen to what happens at the end of the story in 1 Kings 17, verses 17 to 23. "Sometime later, the woman's son became sick. He grew worse and worse, and finally he died. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord. The Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived." Think about this for a moment, friends. If the widow had not agreed to give her last to Elijah, he would not have been there to save her son in the hour of crisis. Her future was dependent upon her present participation in the miracle. And so often when we seek God for a miracle, we're only thinking of ourselves. We're only thinking of our immediate need. Lord, I need it now. I need it today. But any breakthrough God gives you is not just for your sake alone. Through you and through your obedience, God wants to set others free as well. See, it wasn't only the widow's son that was saved by her obedience. In fact, it was the entire nation of Israel that was saved by this widow. The heavens were shut up at Elijah's word. Rain could not fall and would not fall till Elijah said so. In other words, the country depended on Elijah releasing rain. And if Elijah died, the rain would never come and the entire nation would dry up. Elijah had to be sustained so that the nation of Israel could be sustained. If he died, the nation would never see rain again. And if Elijah had not obeyed, and if the widow had not surrendered, then the nation of Israel would have been lost. The drought could not end till Elijah said so. So keeping him alive was essential for a miracle for Israel. So here's your final truth today. Your pain serves your purpose when you dedicate yourself to God. See, the enemy may mean pain for your harm, but when you trust in God, God can use your pain for good. That's why Joseph said in Genesis 50:20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." And God had brought Elijah to the place where the brook dried up and had to take him to a widow so that many people could be saved. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of an American businessman named Mark Cuban. Back in 1982, Mark Cuban was working as a salesman for a company called Your Business Software. He was on the bottom of the pay scale. He wasn't being paid much, and life was tough. He was the one who had to open the store and sweep it every day. In fact, he was squatting in a flat with five other people. Mark Cuban didn't even own a bed to sleep in. But Mark worked hard and things started to turn around. In fact, after about 9 months on the job, Mark made a big sale, one that would earn him more commission than he'd ever had before. You would think that Mark's boss would have been proud of Mark for making such a big sale. But instead of celebrating with him, Mark's boss called him into his office the very next day and fired him. And that hurt. After working hard and doing his best and making a big sale, Mark Cuban got fired. But rather than getting bitter, when Mark Cuban got fired from his job, he got fired up to succeed. He didn't let the pain of his rejection turn to bitterness. Instead, he let his pain serve his purpose. So Mark Cuban started his own company selling software solutions. And just 7 years later, Mark sold his company for $6 million. Today, Mark Cuban is a multi-billionaire. His pain served his purpose. It wasn't easy to be fired from his job, but being sacked opened the way for him to start his own company and become a millionaire in just 7 years. And if you're going to pass through pain, then make sure you get the maximum benefit. Make sure your pain serves a purpose. Determine to let your miracle have the greatest impact possible. For God wants to give you a miracle in the middle of the drought so that through you, multitudes can also be delivered. Others are depending on you. You have to participate in your miracle so others can receive their miracle too. That's why I call on you today as we prepare to enter the last half of 2020. Be devoted to the master, not a method. Your source is not the brook, it's the Almighty. Be dependent on your maker, not your means. Your miracle in the middle is not up to what you have. It's up to who you trust in. Trust in God, and He'll meet your need. And don't just participate in your miracle for your sake. Be dedicated to the multitude, not yourself. For God wants to spread His blessings through you so that a whole generation may find deliverance. When you do these things, you'll experience a miracle in the middle of the drought. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I lift up each and every one today who's struggling in the middle of a drought. Father, maybe there's someone watching or listening today that suddenly the brook has dried up and they feel confused. They were tied to a method, but you're trying to get them tied to you. Help them today to see the next step. Help them to see that you bless the place of consecration, not the place of convenience. Lord, I pray for everybody today who's down to their last hope, their last prayer, their last strength, their last finances. Lord, help them to see that when they give their last to you first, it becomes a miracle. Help them to see, God, that their source is not their own strength or their salary or their family or their scholarship or the government. Help them to see that their source is in you. Help them to humble themselves and come to you today, not just for their sake, but for the sake of others who will be blessed through them. I pray today that you'll open our eyes to see not just our needs, but how we can be used by you to meet the needs of others. I pray in the middle of this year, we'll take our eyes off of ourselves and see the multitude, that we will gain new strength to seek you and to give to you and to serve you and to trust in you and to stay close to you, not for our own sake, but so that our purpose might be accomplished on this earth. I commit each and every one into your hands now. I submit them to you in the name of Jesus. I bind every voice of the enemy that would come to steal the seed of the word out of their hearts. I command you, Satan and demon powers, be silent in the name of Jesus. And I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to cover this word and water it as a seed, that it might grow up, take root, and bear fruit for your glory. Thank you, God, for giving us a miracle in the middle of the drought. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagon. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're heroes in